Bobby, did you know that it's Live Nation's Concert Week, and from now through May 14th, you can get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows?
I did know because Live Nation sent us a list of all of the concerts, and I'm obsessed because I'm definitely going to see some of these people.
Well, you can get up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, including Alanis Morissette, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, who else am I seeing? Lainey Wilson.
Peso Pluma and Sarah McLachlan, like, back to back. That's fun. Meghan Trainor, then Peso Pluma, then Sarah McLachlan, and have us the summer of my life.
So grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long for just $25 each. Visit livenation.com/concertweek to buy now. That's livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
You or Jayla? Yeah.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And Lindsay, have you heard of him? Have you heard of Blippi?
You, unfortunately, I have heard of Blippi, yes.
Blippi's a nightmare.
Yeah. So, like, you're saying that your nephews are into Blippi.
My nephews are so into Blippi. One of them was screaming this morning, I want to watch Blippi. I want to watch Blippi. And I was like, telling my sister, what do they want to watch? And she was like, Blippi. And I was like, what's Blippi? And then I realized, oh, right, I forgot
you
what
know
Blippi
what
is.
Blippi
I know
is.
What Blippi is. I've just never really watched one. Blippi is insufferable.
Terrible. Yeah. Yeah. Blippi is a YouTube performer who mostly deals with, like, construction vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's his main thing.
The one I watched, he was singing about dinosaurs and tortoises.
Oh, so maybe he's branched out. But what's, you know, interesting about Blippi for adults is that Blippi has a sordid past life as investigated and discovered by one of the Who's members, Katie Natopoulos, who sings our iconic Rita Ora theme song. Who, fun fact about Blippi and Katie, Katie's son still watches Blippi sometimes.
And Katie, like, exposed Blippi.
Yeah, Blippi did. The best thing about Blippi is that, remember the Harlem Shake?
Yeah.
Like, Blippi got in quote-unquote trouble, which I don't even, kids, not in trouble because kids still watch Blippi and he's, like, still a millionaire. Blippi did a Harlem Shake in which he pooped on a friend, or a friend pooped on him.
Oh, right. That was Blippi. I forgot that he's the one who pooped on his friend.
Yeah. So Blippi did a Harlem Shake. Harlem Shake, God, I feel like I need to explain everything along the way. Harlem Shake was like a viral video trend where, like, you played a song and then you, like, went crazy.
And right? Then when the beat drops, you, like, do this dance.
Yeah. When the beat dropped, you went crazy or something. God, it's, like, weird because I remember it so well being a thing, but I don't remember actually what the thing was, which is, like, my brain is just atrophying.
It's like a calm video. Nothing is happening. But then when the beat drops in the song, something crazy happens. Like, you completely change or you go up to 11.
And Blippi, before he was a children's performer, had
he was Steezy
fantastic
Grossman.
Ideas to poop on a friend or be pooped on. Was he pooping or pooped on?
I'm not sure if he was being pooped on or if he was pooping, but I think he was being pooped on.
And now I feel like I'm always in this position, which I hate, not of being pooped on like Blippi, but where you'll, like, not a lot of people know this Blippi thing. So you'll be,
you
like,
have
with
kids.
You'll be with people who have kids and they'll, like, mention Blippi or the kid will something. And your know-it-all tendency, which I have and, like, try to fight, will want to be like.
You have
a
know-it-all tendency?
You foul, fuck yourself. Go get fucked. rude. I'm allowed to say it, not you.
And I didn't say anything. I was asking a question.
You're rude. My know-it-all tendency, but in terms of, like, pop
as
culture.
As if I don't have a know-it-all tendency.
I know.
Please.
That's why we have a stupid podcast. But what I'm saying is, like, I'll want to say, like, I want to give, like, a fun fact about Blippi. Like, what can I contribute to this conversation? Not parenting, you know? So I'll be, like, in my brain, I'll be, like, tell him about the pooping. Tell him about the poopy. Tell him about the poopy. Tell him about the poopy. And then I'll be, like, in my other brain, my brain will be, like, why would you tell them that, like, a very popular children's performer that their kid loves, like, once pooped on another one in a video? You can't show them the video. You're not going to show them the video.
So Blippi's real name is Stephen John, but Stephen spelled S-T-E-V-I-N. And he changed it because he was born S-T-E-P-H-E-N, according to Wikipedia.
My dad did that. He changed his Stephen. He went from a P-H to a V.
Oh, he did? I like that. V is better Stevens than P-H,
do that.
In my opinion.
Stevens do that. It's weird. Isn't that weird?
It's a little, it's understandable.
Yeah, I don't know.
The main thing is like changing, doing all the legal paperwork is like kind of a mess, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Just changing your name is easy technically, but sure, it's just sure. Like a lot of work. Anyway, so as Lindsay was saying, he once did videos like poop on someone or get pooped on. Again, we don't really remember. And his pseudonym when he had that YouTube channel was Steezy Grossman. And I'm reading this Wikipedia. It says, John initially started making gross out videos under the persona of Steezy Grossman. And Stevie Grossman, because Steve and John is, you know, a very creative person and he gives all of his characters a backstory. Steezy Grossman has a backstory. And the backstory is Steezy Grossman was a boy born as poop resulting from anal intercourse.
What?
So
what?
The backstory of Steezy Grossman is that
he's poop.
So his parents, quote unquote parents, were having anal intercourse and then poop came out of the butt and he was born as Steezy Grossman.
What's
then
funny is realized, it's like, is this for children? Like, it almost does feel like it is a little bit for children.
Well,
maybe
now it's
not.
Definitely for children. And his character is just like Pee Wee Herman, but without any of the creativity, because all he does is say, right. Like, wow, now we're going to talk about dinosaurs. Yeah. Whoa. And then I saw he went to some trampoline park and that I watched. Oh, they
yeah.
love it. And so yeah. my sister is, I'm watching it and I'm like, this sucks. And my sister's like, yeah, I know, but they love it. And she goes, what did she say? She goes, he's just so lacking in all creativity. And then I was like, what's his deal? Because I forgot about Steezy Grossman at the time. And she goes, oh, I've read so many interviews with him. He's like just a total bro. And he's just so rich off of these videos. And I was like, what else is his deal? And she goes, I mean, the only thing to know about him is that he could afford to live anywhere in the country. And yet he chooses to live in Las Vegas. And I was like, oh, my God.
Wait, the fact that Blippi lives in Las Vegas is dark to me. Like, he lives, like, amongst, like, Chris Angel.
Angel, exactly. He wants... So when he lives in Las Vegas, because he's like, this is the type of dude that appeals to me. This pickup artist shit. This John Taffer bar
this
shit.
Is,
just like,
and I gotta say, this is only boy children, not girl children. Only boy children are, like, the Blippi stans, you know? Not to make it a thing, but only the young boys are interested in, like, construction vehicles, like, as hosted by Blippi, you know?
Yeah, well, you're now listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show, where you can call 619-WHO-THEM and leave your questions, comments, concerns, whatever. We actually didn't get any calls about Blippi, but I just thought it would be a fun way to start the show.
No, it was
we
definitely
we may have talked about him
was
in the
fun.
Past. But today we have a lot of comments, and I'm just going to go ahead and play the first one. What do you think about that?
I love it.
Hi. So, how to pause the podcast. Because Thomas Middleditch is like a dick, and a lot of people in the comedy community in LA, like, people basically like all know that, like, there's this like display in the Museum of Broken Relationships in LA that's like breast implants from his ex, and like apparently she like had posted something about it. I don't know, she's like kind of, she's not like famous, but she like had posted something about like how she had put those there, and like she was like, oh, my boyfriend like forced me or like pressured me a lot into getting these breast implants, and he like paid for them, but like it wasn't like really what I wanted to do. Basically, he's a dick. Hyaluronic acid. Crunch, crunch.
Lindsay, you told me about this first, and I like you told me about this a while ago before we even recorded the episode about him. Is this still just an alleged thing? Like, she hasn't come out and publicly named this asshole ex-boyfriend of hers who paid for her breast implants and then had her pay him back, and now they're out of her body in the Museum of Broken Relationships. Like, she hasn't named names, but everyone,
sure.
It's like an open secret, right?
Well, we know she dated him. There are photos of them mm-hmm. together. Like, that's on record. And mm-hmm. people have said that this is about him. Like, so she wrote, you know, my ex. So a lot of people are assuming a lot, but a lot of people who I think maybe know the truth are like confirming it behind the scenes to make the rumor kind of like stand.
But she's just, and she's sort of like, I'll let everyone else take care of this. Like, I don't need to get involved since everyone knows anyway.
Well, she also was just like, I won't name him because like, why? So to give context, I guess the caller did give a little, but I've been to the Museum of Broken Relationships. I'm not sure if it's still open. It's a little bit of a shtick. It's on Hollywood Boulevard, and it's like a museum, but it's like not the Natural History Museum. It's like kind of a
pop-up-y sort of thing.
Yeah, like a sideshow museum. It started in another country, Croatia, I think, and they opened it here, and it's just full of like people's items and their stories. And it is interesting. I mean, I remember there was like a dreadlock that I thought was really funny. It was like somebody's ex-boyfriend's dreadlock.
A single dreadlock?
It's an in-person experience, but it feels more like an article. You know, on like...
I see.
Like
this
concept.
Should be a slideshow on New York Magazine. It's a slideshow.
Right. Or like on Refinery 29 or something.
Vox presents New York Magazine. Is it New York Magazine presents Vox? What'll it be?
It's Vox's New York Magazine.
Vox explains New York Magazine. Okay.
Rude. We love a media merger. Yeah, it's like that. It's a little bit... It's definitely a shtick. Like it caught, like the tickets to get are like $20. You know, it's definitely a shtick. But this is interesting. This is interesting because, of course, it's like it's Hollywood. So a lot of the contributions might be notable people or people you've heard of or like whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is clearly one of them. You know,
this photo that she posted whenever the museum first came up. And what's her name? Driandre?
Her name is, her name is not Dree. Hold on.
Okay.
Andre Vermeulen.
Dree Vermeulen.
She's been on Andrew Tribeca, and she's been in a few other things that you maybe heard of, but mostly that show Andrew Tribeca.
I see. Okay, well, when she first posted an Instagram of her posing alongside the breast implants that were once inside her body and are now in the Museum of Broken Relationships, she didn't name names, and she told, and in the caption, she like tells her story, which is that her ex-boyfriend told her to get breast implants, paid for them initially, and then she says that he made her pay him back.
It's also really easy to confirm this. Like, she dated him for 5 years. She dated Thomas Milditch for a long time, for 5 years. And at the very specific time where she had bigger breasts than she does currently. Right. Like, it's not the hardest, like...
When the Venn diagram... The only person in the middle of the Venn diagram is Thomas Milditch, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So, this story is actually quite sad and is, like... shades of, if not abuse, like coercion, just overall just intimidation and unpleasantness. And it just is more evidence that he sucks. My favorite thing about it is that you said that this is a very Hollywood-y thing. And the caller was talking about how, you know, it's well known in the comedy scene that like he sucks. And on her Instagram, someone who liked the post, and obviously she has famous friends, she lives in Los Angeles, but Darcy Carden liked it, and Darcy Carden was also big in the comedy scene just before she was like known for Good Place. So it's like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, Darcy knows. All these women know. They're all whispering about
how he sucks. I think Dree is a big UCB person also because her IMDb is like full of like UCB, but like College Humor and all those like videos and stuff like that, like comedy shorts. And then, you know, she was in a DreamWorks TV series, like an animated series and stuff like that. So there's a lot of that there.
Okay. I could play the next call.
heavy.
Hey guys, it's your friend, Kate. I really enjoyed the conversation you had about the WB frog, at last week's call-in show, but you didn't say his name. He has a name, it's Michigan J. Frog, and he's actually a them in the Looney Tunes universe, and I just felt like that needed to be pointed out. Bye.
Kate, say his name.
We'll say her name. Thank you, Kate Nibbs. We appreciate you. I had no idea his name was Michigan J. Frog.
His name is Michigan J.
No, it's not like I forgot to mention it. I had no idea.
You know what's funny about Michigan J. Frog? It's not the Michigan. It's the J. Where did the J come from? Like, as someone who also has a middle name that is J, and that's, like, always a joke because remember, like, Homer J. Simpson, that joke?
Oh, yeah, because it stands for about? J. So does yours.
Yeah. Mine also stands for J, but it stands for J-A-Y-E, but the joke was his stands for just J. Anyways, it's funny that he's also a J. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, he got the J... He was inspired to add the J as a middle initial while being interviewed by a writer named Jay Cox. I don't understand. J-A-Y. Right. So he's Michigan J-A-Y Frog. He was given the name Michigan because I guess there's a song called The Michigan Rag that he sings. Mm-hmm. He sings in the cartoon.
He has a pretty limited repertoire. One of the songs is Hello My Baby, which you're all familiar with.
Right. Most of his songs come from one cartoon in which he harasses this guy until he goes insane as a frog.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then they took him, people thought he was Cutie, so they took him to represent all these different things within like the WB. But his origin story is from this cartoon in which he drives somebody mad.
He was announced as dead on July 22nd, 2005.
He died.
By WB chairman Garth Ancier at a fall season preview with the terse statement, "The frog is dead and buried."
He died.
I'm quoting him, "Michigan was a symbol that perpetuated the young teen feel of the network. That's not the image we now want to put out to our audience." So they killed the frog.
Wait, the frog was like a teen image? He sang like Hello My Baby and the Michigan Rag. He sang Throw Him Down McCloskey.
Lick 'em if you try, and future generations with wonder and delight will read on history's pages of the great McCloskey fight.
I guess, you know, Michigan Jay is not a youthful. He's not youthful, or he is youthful. I'm just confused because he's not youthful.
He wears a top hat.
He literally is the
youthful.
He's the least youthful frog I've ever experienced. You know,
experienced.
who's a fucking youthful frog? Crazy Frog.
Who?
Crazy Frog. Crazy Frog. Crazy Frog. Crazy Frog. You know Crazy Frog. Crazy Frog's like, nah, 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 nah. You know Crazy Frog.
Oh, that thing.
Crazy Frog is youthful. You know who else is youthful? Peace Frog.
Which one's okay? I know Crazy Frog, but I don't know what Peace Frog is.
Peace Frog. Search Peace Frog. Peace Frog is the frog with the peace signs.
Peace Frog seems like a very stoner thing. Oh, Peace Frog.
Peace Frog.
Yeah.
A lot of Peace Frogs on people's cars and stuff.
It's weird to me that you don't have a Peace Frog on your car.
I know. I need a Peace Frog on my car. Peace Frog's motto is live fun, do good, which is like mine too.
Next time I see a car that says Tom Hank 2 in the traffic and then has a Peace Frog on it, I'll be surprised if like plumes of smoke aren't pouring out of all the windows.
I need a Peace Frog, man. Okay, so two youthful frogs are Crazy Frog and Peace Frog. A not youthful frog is Michigan J Frog. So
not to be rude,
to who?
I think both Peace Frog and Crazy Frog are both so sort of old. They're Gen X at youngest, and I think they might be a little older.
So you know who the frog is now?
Who?
Pepe.
Oh no, I don't want to think about Pepe. Ugh.
That's what I'm saying. If you want young frog, but that's why I'm saying we need
Kermit.
Kermit's
eternally young.
No. Not if kids are watching Blippi.
Kids know Kermit.
I just searched young frog and I got just like young actual frogs. Okay, we need to move on.
I love when we need to move on.
Ride, ride, glide the Michigan, stop, drop, hump the Michigan, jump, hump, hump the Michigan, ride, that loving ride.
Why do you want to learn a new language? Where would you use it and how would it come in handy? This is what I'm asking myself every single day. Even if I'm not planning on going on a trip where I need to use a new language, I'm just like, my brain needs to stay alive. My brain needs to stay active. And there's only so many crossword puzzles I can do in 1 week. And that's why I just feel like putting my mind to the test would just be using Rosetta Stone to improve my language skills.
And I'm always like idealizing, oh, I want to learn Francais. So when I go to Francais, I can speak French with the person in
France. You go to Quebec.
But really, I'm speaking on a like dream level, which is also great. Use Rosetta Stone to learn the language of a place you're dreaming of visiting. But also practically, it makes more sense for me to learn Spanish. And if I'm going to learn Spanish, I'm going to do it on Rosetta Stone.
That's amazing.
They've been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they have 25 languages offered. You have fast language acquisition because they immerse you in the language. There aren't English translations, so you really learn to speak, you listen, you think in the language with Rosetta Stone, and it has an intuitive process, so you pick up the language naturally. first words, then phrases, then sentences, which means it's designed for long-term retention. And the app has a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's very helpful, okay?
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
It's convenient. There's an amazing value. You can get a lifetime membership and just have every single language, all 25 languages you can have for your lifetime, and you can just work through them as long as you're alive. That's kind of an iconic mm-hmm. goal to have. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
Hey, Who Weekly, short time. I'm calling because I'm very intrigued by / deeply attracted to Jemmy Slate's husband. Or, sorry, new fiancé, whose name is apparently Ben Shattuck. And he's very hot, very New England. He's some kind of curator / writer and runs, like, a writer's retreat plus a gallery in New England. And I wanted you guys to do some more research on him. I also wanted to ask you guys about this, like, trend with female celebrities getting engaged to, like, art guys, because I seem to recall that Jennifer Lawrence's fiance is also, like, some sort of art person. Also, she released her, like, Amazon bridal registry today, which you guys should check out, and I thought it was really, like, out of character for her just to even release that. Very odd sort of hooey behavior on her part. Is he bringing her down from a them to a who? I can't even remember his name, so maybe he's a nah. All right, that's it. Good form, Bella Thorne. ScarJo, Yummy Pop, me in Greece. Women don't belong in balloons. Bye.
Let's start with Jenny Slate, because that's where you started. Bobby and I can't remember whether we've talked about this on the show before or got cut. Or
if we have, it must have been either boring and we forgot it, or we cut it because it was boring. I'm not sure. I feel like Vampire Weekend is responsible for a lot of this, like, Hollywood women just falling for, like, preppy Massachusetts dudes.
No, you know? No. I think you're being a little cynical here. I don't think Vampire Weekend's responsible for this artist's career.
If you told me that Jenny Slate and Jennifer Lawrence were huge Vampire Weekend fans, I would not be surprised.
But Jenny Slate is from Massachusetts, literally from Massachusetts. That's her whatever. And also, as you and I both know, Vampire Weekend is partially, actually mostly, kind of a exaggeration and parody of Massachusetts and the vibe.
Ben Shattuck. He lives on Cutty Hunk Island.
Ben Shattuck. I don't think he lives there, but I think he does have a writer's retreat on Cutty Hunk. Cutty Hunk is a tiny, tiny island off of Cape Cod that, like, really nobody lives on year round. I think there's like 10 people who live there year round, but it's not really one of the islands that you live on. Like, it's near Martha's Vineyard, but it's in the Vineyard Sound, but it's not.
It's like 1/20th the size of Martha's Vineyard.
And you can't even really get there from Cape Cod. You have to go to New Bedford, which is like back in it's all in Massachusetts, okay. But on, like,
it's
the mainland.
Ferry from there.
My point is
that he's a writer.
What I think is cool about this, or interesting about this, is that she went from dating, like, an A-list hunk to being, like,
Chris
absolutely
Evans.
Not the life that I want for myself. Like, could not want this mm-hmm. any less. And found what is arguably the opposite, like, a creative, intellectual cutie uh-huh. who doesn't even live near Hollywood, not even close,
who wants nothing to do with Hollywood unless he's dating someone who's part of it.
Clearly.
right.
But I guess, and also part of the bigger trend here is that she's not the first big A-listy. Is Jenny Slate? She's not A-listy, but, like,
she's not A-listy. She's, I would call her a them, but she's not A-listy.
Right. She's not a celebrity who, the first celebrity to be dating art guys. We are now seeing this trend, quote unquote, of these women dating art guys, marrying art guys. You got J-Law, who's marrying Cook Maroney, my favorite one of these guys, which is like, who the fuck is he? And Sienna Miller is dating David Zwirner's son, Lucas, who David Warner is like a galleryist, and his son is also a galleryist. Ellie Goulding just married Casper Jopling, an art guy.
Isn't he an art gallerist too? Yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys. For a while, before Heidi Klum married Tom Cowlitz, she was dating Julian Schnabel.
Yeah, and there was another Schnabel who was dating Amber Heard. Or is it the same Schnabel?
I think it was the same Schnabel. I think the Schnabel gets around. Schnabel gets around.
So yeah.
When the Schnecken beckons, when the Schnabel wobbles, when the Schnabel wobbles.
Ew, 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 ew.
So, I mean, the thing is, you put a lot of links in here that I clicked on. He's like a writer. He's like an intellectual. He wrote that essay. I mean, I read half of it and I was like, I don't need to keep doing this.
No.
Like, the pleasures of sleeping outdoors. And I was like, I get it.
Shattuck is serious. Like, there's a difference between Shattuck and Cook Maroney. Cook Maroney is a little bit of like a douchey gallery guy. Ben Shattuck he's in the sand. He's on the ground, like with the writers, like doing the very
specific
work.
He's writing longhand.
He's writing shorthand. He's writing left hand and right hand. I'm just joking. Cook Maroney seems like he's more of the New York art guy, a schnobbly.
Cook Maroney seems very like, I got an inheritance and I'm like going to spend it on an art gallery. And Jenny Slate's fiance is like, I'm going to go into the woods and I'm going to write.
His life seems also very like, low cost is also too.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of those people who just truly like lives a very small life, which is why Jenny Slate, who still arguably has to like do her job in Hollywood, it's going to be interesting for her to be like going back and forth between these
Probably
lives.
A nice little reprieve for her. You know?
I agree.
I can understand the appeal of it.
Me too. But it's like interesting that that's going to be her life. Anyways, back to Jennifer Lawrence, who is in way more of a spotlight situation in terms of her marriage, her future marriage to Cook. I cannot believe she's marrying someone named Cook Maroney. Right?
I think it's perfect. And also the thing about Cook Maroney, he looks a lot like Ben Shattuck. He looks like a younger Ben Shattuck.
Do you think that like Cook Maroney has a sense of humor that's really amazing or something? I just feel like we all were like J-Law. Like she's so funny and cool. And like, what is her deal? And then
I would have to say they're probably both, they probably both got like a very intense and sort of nasty sense of humor. You have to be on J-Law's level. I feel like she's really intense.
Yeah.
I don't think a J-Law would work with someone like Ben Shattuck. I think she needs someone who's more like her.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like Jenny Slate is like, I want someone who slows me down, but I feel like Jennifer Lawrence wants someone who's equally intense.
Cook Maroney like and Jennifer Lawrence are like, I'm not accusing, but like doing coke in the bathroom, like at the opening party
right.
for like
it's
the Met.
That energy.
That's
it's
just
a
an
energy.
I'm not accusing. I'm just saying that's the energy.
Because totally Cook different Maroney art is like energy. A Manhattan guy. He's like a Manhattan guy, and then Ben Shattuck is like, I'm gonna be in the woods.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be on the island.
I'm not even comparing them anymore. I'm just moving on to the J-Law Cook Maroney like dynamic, which I find interesting because I feel like she could either go with a guy who slows her down like Jenny Slate, or a guy who's on her level. And I think you're right, like he had to be on her level, which is like a very high level, because she's really not intense serious, but like intense crazy.
But it's like every photo of them walking around smiling, you sort of get the feeling like they just spent the past 15 minutes shit talking one of their best friends, you know, like
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it was really fucking funny.
Oh, it was absolutely hilarious. So as the caller said, Jennifer Lawrence just launched her quote-unquote wedding registry on
Amazon. It's not,
Amazon.
Though. You guys know
it's
that,
not
right?
A wedding registry. It's a thing that says, I'm going to read the quote at the top. First of all, none of these quotes, we just explained how we think Jennifer Lawrence talks. All of the things that are in quotes on this Jennifer Lawrence wedding registry are the opposite of Jennifer Lawrence's voice.
I don't think you guys, I think you guys understand that it's not actually her wedding registry, right? Like it's sponsored content that they're calling wedding registry.
Because she is engaged, they're basically promoting the fact that you can use Amazon as a wedding registry by saying,
here's
what Jennifer Lawrence would do if she used an Amazon wedding registry, which obviously she is not. It says, planning a wedding is so exciting, but it can be overwhelming. For anyone else needing a little inspiration, I thought it would be fun to collaborate with Amazon to share a few of my favorite registry wishlist items. It's so easy, and you can find everything you need all in one place. Nowhere in that introduction does it say that she's using Amazon as a wedding registry. She's just
saying, she's not like buy me things off my wedding registry on Amazon.
Right.
It's just like a way to package her sponsored, which definitely getting paid for. Now they're rapping so many. We talked about the Jeremy Renner one, but there's also a lot of like A-listy vibes on here. I'm sure they're paying super well for this shit. They're really trying to blow it out. I think it looks like garbage.
Amazon is an ugly website. It's not meant to like look pretty. It's meant to like be exclusively functional. Like you just need a place to buy paper towels quickly.
This is the ugly version of what Strategist does. You know, like how they go to a celebrity and they're like, what can't you live without? And then it's like actual interesting passages about, you know, like the one with Amy Sedaris and like things that people buy that they love. This is the boring, lazy, stupid version of that. Like the
there's
truly
no
robot
editorializing here. There's no voiciness. It's just
like oh, yeah, J-Lo needs
mop.
A robot mop.
Net your
okay.
Wi-Fi extender. This thing, it says a smart. There's a subcategory called smart home. And Jennifer Lawrence, quote, if she ever said this, like, I will eat crow if you can get audio of Jennifer Lawrence saying this. With my schedule, sometimes there is nothing better than a quiet night at home. Don't believe it. Here are a few things that will help make any home feel cozy and organized just the way I like it. And the two things in that list are a robot mop by the Roomba people and then a Wi-Fi extender. In what world is Jennifer Lawrence telling anyone to buy a Wi-Fi extender?
It's true. Like, she doesn't extend the Wi-Fi in her own home. Are you kidding me? Who extends the Wi-Fi? Like, what rich person extends the Wi-Fi in their own? If you have a home in New York big enough to need extended Wi-Fi, you are not doing the extending.
She's calling someone and she's like, I can't get Wi-Fi in my fucking bedroom. And then someone takes care of it. She doesn't know how. It doesn't matter. Jennifer Lawrence is too busy and too
we're
rich
so
and too
lucky
famous
to, have,
to
so
need
lucky
to know
to
how.
We're
certain
so lucky
just
to
don't
have
need
her.
To know how.
She's amazing. I just like love her. Her archetype, like that we have her to like, think of as this big character, as this character that she is we're very lucky.
I mean, we've talked about it. It's the same reason I find Constance Wu, as reported, the Constance Wu that Constance Wu would like you to not believe exists,
yeah,
that I believe is the real Constance Wu.
But we love
her. I think that's the archetype you want from a celebrity.
Right.
If I want to think about a boring person, I will look at myself. I will look at like the people in my life. Like we want
wow.
those people to
excuse
be.
Excuse me. Dragged.
We want famous people to be weird and like quirky and insane and yes. completely unlike us.
She would tell you goss in like 1 minute. She'd be like, nice to meet you. Let me tell you some bullshit about Emma Stone. And you'd be like, yes, bitch, tell me.
Hi, Who Weekly. I just read this incredibly troubling headline. Lana Del Rey is dating live PD star and real life cop Sean Six Larkin. So I decided to do some investigating to see who this man is. Sorry to this man, but not sorry. And the only information I can find is coming from a Wattpad fanfiction story called A Live PD Love Story. So what I'm gathering is Sean Larkin is a sergeant with the Tulsa gang unit. He's been working in Tulsa for 19 years, been in the gang unit for about 13 years, and everyone in Tulsa knows him as Sticks for his calm demeanor and quick abilities. Sean is a single father who has full custody of his two kids, Alyssa and Nathan, and makes them his world. His daughter is 17 years old while his son is 14. Sean divorced his then wife after finding out that while he'd been on the job for about 7 years and married for 3 years, that his wife had been cheating on him with one of the day shift gang unit sergeants. Yikes. So it's really detailed and like intricate. I don't know how much of this is true and I refuse to fact check any of it, but the first part of this story ends with, recently Sean has been feeling a little lonely and looking for someone to fill that place, but a lot of women don't want to date a cop. Or a single dad, or an old man, even though he was only 38. My question to you is, who is this man, and is 38 old enough to date Lana Del Rey? Crunch, crunch.
He's definitely older than 38 now.
I like the question, is a 38-year-old old enough to date Lana Del Rey? Because you kind of picture it with, like, a 55-year-old, like, biker daddy.
She's a ghost.
Daddy, no, know?
She's a well, she's 100 years old. I mean, she's literally a dead... She's a spirit. So she really can't date...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. She's old.
Like, she can't date men so much younger than her. 38 is, like, so many years younger than her, if you think about it. I was saying on our group text to Shawnee and Amina that Lana Del Rey would have to literally strangle me for me not to stand. It's hard for me to like think about the thing that she would have to do to get me to like unstand, you know? She'd have to kill me, you know, and I'd be dead, so I wouldn't be able to stand. But anyways,
she'd have to kill me.
Like she'd have to fucking kill me.
Can you explain why his name is Styx? Cuz I think it's so funny.
He said it on Sirius. He said He chased after a criminal without a gun or any weapon and tackled him. And at the time, his captain told him he couldn't do it and called him a bleep stick, a fuck stick. It started with F. It's a bad word. It's a fuck stick. He just called me stick because he called him F. His captain called him a fuck stick and they started calling him stick. He's a cop, but he is hot. So that's nice for her. And
he looks like her type, honestly. Not that I'm amazingly familiar with what her type is, but
Lana's type is bad. She doesn't have great taste in men. I'm obsessed with her, but she has bad taste in men. Her last notable boyfriend was G-Eazy. She dated Gerald.
The thing I don't like about him is that he's on Live PD, which I find reprehensible as Live a concept PD of a show.
So if he was just a cop, I would say like, yeah, you know,
whatever.
Cops mostly suck, but like, I'm going to give Lana the benefit of the doubt here, which is hilarious that I would even say that because I don't know her. But Live PD is actually one of the more disturbing things on television that a lot of people don't know about.
The thing about Live PD is that when I first heard of it, when it launched, I did not know it was still on until Lana started dating this guy. I thought it was canceled because I thought it was too outrageous. But when I first heard of it, I thought I was reading something wrong. I was like, yeah, it can't possibly just be what they're saying.
No,
it is.
And Live PD exactly
is a show that is a truly live television show on A&E, I think, hosted by Dan Abrams. But they put like cameras on cops, and it's just like they show
Live PD.
Live police officer camera footage, and it's shot on a delay because guess what? Stuff can go badly if you're a cop. And so it's just like this mortifying, truly the darkest, most voyeuristic reality show on television.
Yeah.
And it exists. It sounds like something out of like a dystopic novel.
It doesn't just exist, it's popular. I was how I heard about it was I was listening to a really good podcast about cops, which is called Running from the Police, I believe. It's mm-hmm. Dan Taberski's podcast, the
Running
one he
from
did
Cops.
Running from Cops. Right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Running from Cops.
And he talks about cops, but he also talks about this kind of new version of cops, the Live PD, which is even more fucked up than cops, because on cops there was always this big question as to like who's giving permission for their image to be used on cops. Like that's always when you watch cops, you're like, why would these people agree to this? And a lot of it was kind of like shady. The producers were not getting these people's permission in a very
right.
clear way. And Live PD is even less clear because it's live. Yeah. And they claim as Live PD that they're basically news, and news doesn't need consent, which is like extremely fucked up, because if you think about it, it's like the line between determining that you are the news when you're literally arresting people that could not even be charged guilty, you know, like they could go to court or whatever and it could be. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not airing on a news channel. It's airing on an entertainment channel.
Right.
You know?
So they don't blur faces. They don't, you know, and you could be on Live PD and your whole town could know that was you. Obviously, these are small mm-hmm. towns that they're getting the permission from the cops to be a part of, like be on the route with them. And a lot of places that used to have Live PD don't anymore because it was fucked up. It's a fucked up situation. So I don't love that this guy's like the host of this like really messed up thing. That's very against what I would think Lana would be into, but he's hot.
When we sent this to the Who Dat group thread, I put in a tweet from Alex Chan and they quoted Norman fucking Rockwell, the actual title track. And the chorus, because you're just a man, it's just what you do, your head in your hands and you color me blue,
because you're just a man, it's just what you do, your head in your hands as you color me blue.
Oh no.
And he said, I mean, she tried to tell us.
No.
And then Shawnee says, frankly, I don't find this funny at all. As every scholar knows, blue is a color that signals positivity within the Lana canon.
Shawnee's a sick Lana fan. I'm a Lana fan, but Shawnee is beyond.
Lana's dating a cop. He may or may not be problematic. We will find out sooner than later.
And also, you know, it was confirmed by Entertainment Tonight that they were dating. I didn't want to talk about this until it was termed, but like, I didn't like that it was like people were just like photos of them meant they were dating, but they are dating. They are
maybe
dating.
She has no idea what he does.
Come on. What do they talk about?
Do they need to talk? They're just drinking Miller High Life. They don't need to talk.
I love. Did you know? Thank you.
love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
I get mad.
What is there
else to say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's the one that I will not stop using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm you have to move because need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's irritating, actually. Wow. He likes the Helix so much.
So rude.
Everybody is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different. And that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic, and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. A long time, many, many times. So, Friends is having their 25th anniversary, and I'm wondering, I don't know if you've done it before, but can we do a little who to them ranking of the cast members, not including Gunther? I feel like David Schwimmer is whoiest. Well, other than he did that giraffe in Madagascar, but other than that, he's pretty hooey. Like, they're all kind of demi, though. Okay, thank you. Crunch, crunch. Women do belong in balloons. Sorry to this man.
There are so many sign-offs now. We have so many.
We have so many. Friends is a nightmare right now. Like, this Friends anniversary is a nightmare. Do we have to suffer through this every 5 years? Are we fucked forever by this?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I cannot believe I was walking in Manhattan yesterday and there was a Friends anniversary pop-up and people were waiting in line. I don't know what was even in there. What was in there? I don't know. Maybe the cafe
was
or something.
Was it like the cafe where you can sit in the cafe tell. And it's like, maybe. I'm at Central Perk.
I don't know, but I was like, I texted it to our friend Steven and he was like, who is paying for this? And I was like, great question. Who is paying for this? NBC?
Whatever the Friends.
Peacock?
The Friends Trust. The
who's the Friends Trust?
Hundreds of millions of dollars on Friends every year are paying for this.
Like producers or like people who own the rights to like DVDs?
I don't know. The point it's is unclear it's to me. Just wild that people are still watching it. Regardless of the hundreds of millions of dollars that continues to be made by the Friends empire, it's crazy to me that this show is still basically the most popular thing on television.
It's not crazy to me because I feel like this is a show that is very easy to watch that went on a streaming platform at its peak usage, yeah. You know, at the exact right time so that the kids that hadn't grown up watching it, it was resurfaced for them on this, yeah. You know, on Netflix, which they turn on and just watch whatever is on there. I think it was almost a perfect storm. To have this show like this.
But I feel like this is one of the first of its kind because when you look back at like when we were kids in the 90s, like we weren't obsessed with shows from the 70s.
No.
You know, like, and yeah, a lot of that had to do with like
they weren't on TV.
Exist. Like they weren't on DVD and they weren't on TV, like whatever.
Yes.
But it's like this really is kind of the first time a show this old has bubbled back to become basically the most popular thing
but
in
also its media. That you could so easily watch a show so old, you know, and it's part of it's part of our normal vernacular to go back and watch old shows now because of streaming. Like, to re-binge something is very easy. You don't have to buy the DVDs. You don't have to, like, figure out how to download it or do whatever. Now it's like...
timing no longer matters.
Like, yeah. Hulu and these places are encouraging you to watch old shows. Usually they... these places wouldn't... like, TV or, like, you know, they don't want to encourage you to watch old stuff unless it's, like, you know, this syndicated thing that they have access to. Like... now with streaming, it's like they want you to go back and watch like their archive of like Married with Children, because that it's the same difference to them, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the who's and them's of the Friends cast. So I opened up
this is
when
tough.
You just search like Friends cast, and it says like, you know how Google puts their own like information
yeah, what'd
up
it
at
say?
The top? And it says the and it has them in order. Guess the Google order of
And then
importance.
I'm gonna give wait, and then you're gonna have to guess. I wonder if it's the same as the Wikipedia order. Of Friends. Oh no, is it in alphabetic order? This one's in alphabetic order.
This is not alphabetical order.
Okay, I just realized Wikipedia's alphabetic order. Okay, you want me to guess the order of this?
I think Google's is popularity.
Okay, so like
what
more,
do you think
most
the order is
for?
From most popular to least popular?
Aniston?
Yes.
Cox?
Yes.
LeBlanc?
No.
Perry?
Yes. Perry's number three. That's how I figured out it wasn't alphabetical.
Then LeBlanc.
No.
Then Kudrow.
Yes.
Then LeBlanc.
Yes.
Then Schwimmer.
Yes. And I think this is...
Do you think it's accurate? Why do I think LeBlanc is so much higher than he is?
At first I was like, maybe LeBlanc is last, but I don't think so.
Well,
I think this is correct, actually, now that I look at it. And also, Google knows what people are searching. They didn't do this blindly.
But I have to say, like, the Hui friends are Perry because of his, like, issues. And David because of his, like, attitude. The rumors about mm-hmm. his, like, attitude.
Like, everyone hated him, yeah.
And I feel like the very, very A-list friends are the ones that are, like, steady work, respected, like... actor, which is like Aniston, Cox, Kudrow. And then I think LeBlanc is kind of in the middle, meaning he's never like doesn't have bad reputation or whatever, but he's kind of like this guy who never had a successful kind of thing after Friends, like always had like fine
episodes.
Things.
Joey.
Sure, but Joe, I guess he was the only one who really took that spinoff. That's Huey though. He took the Friends
That's
spinoff
he
and
took
it failed.
The spin-off.
So I think there's like he's got a Hui vibes. So it's funny, all the men are Hui and all the women are themy.
Yeah. And I think that the narrative for the women is which I would say is sort of universal among sitcom-y stars, like ensemble sitcom stars. The women, everyone's like, and maybe with dramas, I don't know. I maybe this isn't a rule, but at least for Friends. People are like, what are the women going to do next? When are they going to become like famous dramatic actresses? But the men, everyone just sort of was like, okay, whatever. But it's like, we're invested in Aniston, we're invested in Cox, and we're invested in
Kudrow. Well, I think Schwimmer
get a win.
Wants to be very serious and only recently has
been.
Yeah,
but no one likes him. He doesn't have like the respect that the other ones, that the women do.
No, I stand by what I say. I think it's like they're the three. And I think even within those three, Kudrow is a little bit of a character actress now, or like she's kind of like become, you know, she's respected. But I think after or like
she's making interesting choices.
I think that obviously the AAA list person here is Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox as like a, you know, second, but not even a close second, like a.
Well, Cox had a little fun movie career with the Scream stuff and other things. And also she's the only one who really got the network sitcom that was sort of a minor hit. Like
Cougar Town
was a long-ish running show.
Yeah, and also that she married another famous guy too. She married David Arquette. Yeah. Like Jennifer Aniston obviously is A-listy because of her career, but also because she married Brad Pitt. Like, let's be real. Kudrow's mm-hmm. husband, never heard of him. You know, no one else really had
no idea.
And Matthew Perry dates every actress like under the age of fucking, he's
and
so
all the
30
Matthew
or whatever.
Perry's personal life is dark and we'd rather not
very
think about
dark.
It, you know?
But like, yeah, like Matt LeBlanc's been married forever to the same woman who I've never heard of. Dave Schwimmer also, I think, is married to someone that I don't know. Like,
so you know what?
Yeah.
I'll say it goes Anna, the only ones I'll switch are Perry and Kudrow. I think it's Aniston, Cox, Kudrow, Perry, LeBlanc, Schwimmer.
Right. You're saying it's the women than the men.
Yes. Which is basically because of what you said.
And Perry is higher than LeBlanc, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So Aniston, Cox, Kudrow, Perry, LeBlanc, Schwimmer.
Which is funny because that's almost alphabetical, except you switched Matt and Matt.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy that both their names are Matt. You know, like, you don't think about that because one's Matt, one's Matthew, but they're both named Matt.
Hi there. So Michelle Williams won an Emmy for her role in Fosse and Verdone. Well-deserved. Had an amazing speech. But now the other Michelle Williams, Destiny's Child Michelle Williams, just put out this amazing Instagram Live where she's complaining about people sending her nasty comments based on the speech of the other Michelle Williams. And just the way that she tries to explain it is, it's so iconic. It simply must be listened to. Thanks. And women do belong in balloons.
This is so
funny. I was
mad
that we didn't put this in the Monday episode, Tuesday episode, but I'm glad people called in about it. The audio was amazing. I mean, it's almost like, what else do you say other than just play black singer Michelle Williams's audio? It's perfect.
It's perfect.
For Instagram and Live audio.
It's also just so funny to me because so clearly Michelle Williams' Instagram name is Michelle Williams, right?
Right.
The
Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams
singer,
White.
Destiny's Child.
The white Michelle Williams.
No, but black Michelle Williams got Michelle Williams.
Right. So Michelle, because I think that's because, and not that Michelle Williams, the singer, wouldn't have her name, but what I'm saying is Michelle Williams, the actress, white Michelle Williams, she doesn't have Instagram. So if you were just searching for Michelle Williams on Instagram, you wouldn't get her ever. Like, you're never going to get her. You're always going to get black Michelle Williams.
I was joking about this to Lindsay and Chani, but I was like,
well, a lot of Who Dat in this episode, even though, like, just the ghosts of Who Dat.
It's really funny because, like, Michelle Williams White, the actress who won for Fosse Verdone, I didn't know until the caller said Verdone, who cares, is that I bet you 100% that she has a private Instagram that like five people follow and that it's boring as hell stuff of like a photo of Matilda, but just like her back and like a sunset. And then the caption is like, happy place. Like,
yes. Oh,
even
yeah.
Even if Michelle Williams White did have an Instagram, it would be boring as hell. It would be basic, boring, who cares?
No, obviously, I want Michelle Williams Black's Instagram, not Michelle Williams White's Instagrams. I want this in Michelle. Yes. She's obviously, but it's just really funny. She's like, stop tagging
me. Busy is doing enough Instagramming for both her and Michelle. Like,
truly.
It's fine.
Truly. I just love that she's like, clearly I'm black. Stop confusing me for her because clearly I'm not her. In any way, I'm not her.
In my photo, it's a black woman. It's not Michelle Williams. And she's like, I love that she also compliments Michelle. She's like, her speech was amazing. I loved what she said, but I'm not her. I'm black. Anyway, we're going to play it here and then we're going to end the episode.
It's so good. It's so good.
Thank you for listening. And thank you, hooligans, because we know that our hooligans understand the difference between Michelle Williams Black and Michelle Williams White. You're all smart. Thank you for being smart.
You would never tag Michelle Williams Black when you met Michelle Williams.
You would
White.
Never tag Michelle Williams unless you meant Michelle Williams that one.
That one.
When you mean this one, you tag this one. When you mean that one, you tag that one. And fortunately, you can never tag that one because that one isn't on social media.
No, don't tag her. She's not even there. Okay.
Only tag this one.
Finish this.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. We're going to play you out with Michelle Williams, her Instagram audio, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Call in 619-WHO-THEM if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. Rate and Reveal Sample Podcast. Buy tickets to our live show. We added a second show in Brooklyn, whoweekly.us.
Late show. It's a late show.
Late show. And we will see you on Tuesday. Bye, everyone.
Let's get one thing clear. How come when y'all are tagging and congratulating a person, do y'all see that I'm black when you go to my profile or tag? Like, when you search for the Michelle Williams, I am black, okay? I ain't mixed with nothing. I ain't mixed with Persian, Russian. I am black. So I'm trying to figure out why in the world am I getting cursed out in my comments for Michelle Williams' speech, which I thought was her truth. I thought it was awesome. I thought she was factual. I could be wrong. But yeah, I just told this woman a few minutes ago on my Instagram. I was like, I'm so sorry that my namesake upset you. But can't you see that I'm black? Hey. Hey.